And good morning, everyone. Good to see you all. Welcome. Today, as you can see, we've got a short speaker. Vertically challenged. Anyway, on this day that is especially we remember the many men and women who have given their lives for our freedom, that we can stand here in the freedom we have to worship. Let's never take it for granted. It costs them a lot to give us that freedom, and it also requires responsibility on our side as well. Later this morning, as Tim said, we're going to have our 2 minutes of silence to remember these people. But also in the Bible, we are commanded as believers in God that there are other things that we are to remember. In the scriptures that tell us, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Do this in remembrance of me. And we do that when we take communion, the bread and the wine. Remember the poor. And there are other scriptures as well. Just a good thing to look through it. However, this morning, I would like us to consider that God remembers. Tim reminded me the other day that Zechariah, the name Zechariah means God remembers. And that was the reason they named Harry, the middle name, as Zechariah. Because God remembers the promise that he gave to Cherie and Tim when their children were born. I want us to take a few other recorded events that are recorded about in the Bible where we will see where God remembers. I don't have the time to go through them in depth. It might be wise for you to have a pencil and pen handy to write down the scripture verses to look them up later. And you might even want to take a concordance later and look up the word remember, God remembers, God remembered, and see how many times that God does remember things. And you know, the more I've been looking at this, Tim, we could almost do a series on God remembering. But anyway, I think this next quote from Charles Spurgeon is rather apt. And he says, "Oh, it's not my remembering God. It is God's remembering me, which is a ground for my safety. It is not my laying hold of his covenant, but his covenant's laying hold of me." God remembers us. And in the scriptures we read in Genesis chapter 8, where God remembered Noah. You know, God gave Noah the command to build an ark. It wasn't a sailing ship, it was more like a barge. It was a place of safety. It was called an ark. It was huge, and God called the animals in, and then Noah and the animals all were in, and then God shut the door. And then for about 6 months, it poured with rain. The rain come down, that come from the ground up, the heavens opened up. There was really turmoil in the place. But Noah and the animals were safe in the ark. And after about 150 days, we read in chapter 8, verse 1, God remembered Noah. God did not forget, and he sent a wind to dry the earth. Did you know that Noah was, and the animals were still in there for another nearly 6 months before they were actually released? And in chapter 9, we read where they came out. And God gave them a promise, and we read in verses 15 and 16, that he set the rainbow in the sky as a reminder that God made a covenant for all generations that he would never again destroy the world by water. We see the rainbow from our side, but God sees it from the other side. And in verse 16, he says it again, "I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant." The rainbow is a reminder to God as well as to us. And then we read lots of times in the Old Testament where God remembered his covenant with the patriarchs. That's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their families. Time and time again, God says, "I remember my covenant with them." Genesis 19:29, God remembered Abraham's prayer for the lot in the city of Sodom. In chapter 32, verse 22, God remembered Rachel and her prayer for a child. Exodus 24, chapter 2, verse 24. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God does not forget. He says it again in chapter 6 and verse 5. And then again, Leviticus 26, 42, and 45. God seemed to want the people to remember that he remembers his covenant, and he won't give up on it. Our God is the same today as he was in the Old Testament. And when God makes a promise, God will keep that promise. So that should give you and me really encouragement and hope in times when we are in trouble. God will remember. Another passage that I like is where God remembers that we're dust. In Psalm 103, and I've said from verses 13 and 14, but really you want to read from verse 10. And it says, he, that's God, does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. God will never give us more than we can take, because he knows our limitations. God takes care of us, and we don't get what we deserve. And then, of course, there's a time in Luke's gospel when Jesus is on the cross being crucified with two other men. In Luke chapter 2, we read that they're criminals. But the other gospels also call them thieves, robbers, rebels, and things like this. And they were up there because they deserved it. They had committed crimes, whatever it was, that were there. And they were up there, and I can't imagine what it was like for them to be on the cross there. Because it must have been agony, pain, and terribleness. And they were shouting, these two men, shouting anger, venting their anger at everybody and cursing. But Jesus, he was there. And what was he doing? He was as much pain as they were. But he was praying for those who did that to him. He was praying for the world. The other thieves were putting their anger at Christ as well. And but then one of them realizes, hold on. We're here because we deserve it. This man's done nothing. He's innocent. And when he said to Jesus, remember me when you go into your kingdom. He recognized that Jesus was more than an innocent man. He realized that Jesus was God. And he realized that Jesus had a kingdom and he wanted to be in that. You know, that man was not religious. He had not done any good deeds. He had not been baptized. He had not belonged to a church. And yet, when he repented of his sin, he confessed them, and he called out to Jesus to remember him, he went into God's kingdom. Because Jesus replied to his confession, remember me, today you will be with me in paradise. And this is what is involved in salvation. It's to confess your sin before God. Ask for mercy. Don't depend on your good deeds, but upon the mercy of God. And Jesus remembers. Have you called on Jesus to confess your sins and ask him to remember you? Some years ago, I heard a preacher say in the sermon, there are some things that God can't do. And of course, I suppose he said that just to get our attention. But you think, the Almighty, the all-powerful God. But then, of course, God cannot lie. God cannot deny himself. God cannot fail. God cannot be tempted. And there's some others. But the one that stuck with me was it says that God cannot remember our sins. Perhaps it better be better phrased is that God chooses to remember our sins no more. When our sins are forgiven through the work of Jesus Christ, who lived and then died on the cross in our place. They are dealt with, and it's just as if you and I had never sinned. He doesn't remember. What a blessed thought. That's terrific. You know, the hymn writer H.G. Spafford wrote the hymn, "When Peace Like a River Attendeth My Soul." And one of the verses reads like this: "My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul." We read where God says He'll remember their sins no more, as for those that belong to the covenant. Jeremiah 31, in verses 31 to 34. When the people become children of God, He says, "I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." Hebrews chapter 12, 8 and verse 12, the writer quotes the same passages. "For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." Hebrews 10:17. Again, He repeats the same words. It all relates to the new covenant that God has for His children. Children, when He places that covenant into their hearts, their sins and lawless acts, "I will remember no more." You know, each of us, I'm sure, I know I have said things, I've done things that I regret. I wish I hadn't done it. And of course, there's no way to take it back. And I don't forget. But when we confess our sins to God, those sins are wiped away. Those sins are forgiven. They're buried in the deepest sea. And God puts a sign up, "No fishing." And nobody else can fish them up. They're gone permanently. Praise the Lord for that. But you know, we've heard too much just recently where people have said things or written things on Instagram or WhatsApp or Facebook or something like that, maybe years ago, or even said in a meeting, and it's brought up and said, "You said this, you're guilty." People are actually trying to dig things up to condemn people. But they can't do that to God. He said that. God says, "I remember it. I do not remember it. I choose not to remember," because they've been forgiven by what Jesus has done on the cross. When we repent of our sins, He wipes the web page clean and remembers it no more. Do you want that in your life? Then just call on Jesus, and He will take your sins away and wipe them away, and He'll become your Savior. You know, God is faithful in all He does. Therefore, we can trust Him to remember us, but not to remember our sins.